Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You are listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Keith Dover with me this evening. How are you, Keith?
I'm in good spirits, Alan, and how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks, Keith has been supporting Arsenal since 1887.
That's absolutely true, Alan. I'll never forget the first game between Arsenal and Tottenham, because in those days, if you remember, fans were not segregated. So it was my job and my staff to stand at the gates and say, "Excuse me, but are you a Tottenham supporter, sir?" And if they answered yes, we gave them a little bottle of lemon juice. Helps prevent scurvy, which, as you know, a lot of Tottenham fans have. And still have.
Yeah, and that's why they were known as the Toothless. For so many years. And Ty Papula is here. All right, T.
Hold me tighter in the rain. It's a disco evening. It's a disco Sunday.
Sunday. It certainly is. We're recording this, listener, at 6:50 p.m. It's just under an hour since Arsenal beat Tottenham 2-1.
Yes!
Sweet Caroline! Whoa.
I think I remember doing this podcast last year around this time and explaining in full why it didn't matter, like, because there's no fans there. You know, that whole if a tree falls in the forest and no one sees it, did it happen? I'll take all of that back, because today absolutely happened. even the last 10 minutes. I mean, I know, Keith, you want to say that the last 10 minutes spoiled it for you, and, you know, and it's hard. It's just hard to enjoy the win. It's hard to enjoy the win after that, isn't it? Said no one ever.
Oh, no, I think a win. It's very important that if you have a win against Tottenham, that it comes about through a slightly dodgy penalty and a disallowed Harry Kane goal.
Yes, absolutely.
Very important. And sad to see Kane leaving the Emirates pitch there for the last time in a Tottenham shirt. Because surely, when he looks around the team, and apart from one fluky Rabona from an absolute playground cheat of a player who should have been booked 5 times before he was eventually sent off, and that was their only attempt on goal, the only time they even ventured into our penalty area for an hour and a half, surely he must think, "I've got to get out of this shithole, I've got to leave right now."
Oh, one hopes. I mean, it was all panic. You're just thinking at the time, you're thinking, this is going Mourinho's way. We hit the crossbar with a worldie. They go up the other end and score. And you go, oh, for Christ's sake. But luckily, the Norwegian guy, he pulled through for us.
The Norwegian guy?
The Viking. Yes.
The Viking. I was all prepared to say it. At one point, with 15 minutes to go, I was thinking about the podcast and I was thinking about how tough it is to come to the Emirates, you know, with the number nine, with your top scorer missing, your captain gone missing, and with Aubameyang on the bench as well.
A little bit of mischief. What a bit of mischief there.
And then of course,
cheeky so-and-so.
And then he had that 10 minutes at the end, like with the chance, and he put in a beautiful
when
cross.
They started attacking. Look, we knew they weren't going to attack until 65 minutes anyway. That was apparent. We knew the first 20 of any Mourinho away game is a dead zone. Nothing happens. We knew that they were going to sit there and not let one in, then try wait for us to make a mistake or go for it towards the end. We knew all of that. What we didn't expect to get 2 goals before all that happened. And then in the end, they had 10 men and they were putting it in our box and we were quite jittery and nervous.
That was horrible.
But the whistle came and we got the points.
Just on in the background, because normally we do this and Spurs are playing and it's a bad thing, but I know we can't watch it, but that's just a face. I'm holding up a face, a freeze frame.
Tars taking a photo of Mourinho on the telly.
And he looks,
basically looks like a vagrant.
He looks rueful, basically.
Mourinho, no one's ever been so pleased at the Emirates to see Willian than Jose Mourinho. He was really pleased to see Willian. It's a bad sign for Willian when the person who's most pleased to see you is Jose Mourinho. But there they were, reunited.
It is amazing, though, like Lamela gets sent off and I'm going, great, OK, let's see this one out. Then suddenly, was it Lucas Moura? He suddenly turns into about 3 players. Partey decides he wants to switch off. Willian, well, we know what he's like. And I'm just thinking, Why are we not getting the ball back? Why suddenly now they're playing like they've got 12 men and we've got the
exactly.
10?
Tierney makes his first Tierney makes his first mistake. You know, he sort of half kicked it. Partey kicks it out. Gabriel kicks it just straight out into in a touch. And by the way, like, obviously,
Xhaka tried to get himself sent off, didn't
Tottenham, we hate Tottenham. 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 We are the Tottenham haters. What do you think of Tottenham? Shit! What do you think of shit?
Tottenham!
Thank you. It's all right. I said no. You see, it's so sad not to be there, isn't it?
This when is the time we'd be right in the pub right now. But it's one of the most famous Arsenal, like any Arsenal Tottenham, any Arsenal fan loves a 1-0 down, 2-1 up, right? You guys were at the most famous, well, one of the most famous ones.
1-0 down, 2-1 up, we not Tottenham at the cup, la 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 la.
And now is a good time to enjoy, we can actually enjoy and appreciate that Lamella's goal was a worldie. I love a worldie in a losing team.
You're
not a fan?
Oh, there's always someone in the playground that can do that. And he can't do anything else. I'll tell you what the best moment of our game was, when Sonna is hamstring. That was the best moment of our game. Then Kane's mate's gone off. And they haven't got that threat on the break because he's like an absolute greyhound, that kid, isn't he? And Kane's always looking for him. And that was the only thing they did in the away game when, by the way, we had so much possession. And then he went off and suddenly they're massively weak and they bring on Lamella, who's just a horrible, spiteful playground shitbag who normally misses football because he's in detention. That's what happened when he got sent off. That wasn't a sending off. That was detention. And then Arsenal actually looked quite... He's starting to see the sort of the shape of what an Arteta team, what he wants it to look like, aren't you? And I do think that praise where it's due. It's 10 out of 10 from 1 to 11 for Arsenal players, obviously, today. But Emile Smith-Rowe was absolutely fantastic today.
Man of the match for me.
I mean, absolutely brilliant. The amount of runs he makes, he seems to need no recovery time. Over and over again, in behind Doherty, getting to the byline, making chances. He set up one for Lacazette that he sort of fluffed, didn't he? And lots of credit too to Ødegaard, who's obviously a very talented little footballer who could play for anyone. He's just so switched on. Little bit hesitate to say it because it's too high echelons, but he's a little bit Cesc. He's a little bit Cesc in that he's always available for the ball and very precise with what he's doing with it. So he had a very, very good match. He's only 22. I don't know what the chances are of signing him. I don't know who might come back of our loan players. I don't know what will happen with Ceballos. But when you look at the Partey, and that's the kind of technical level, obviously, that Arteta wants. So you started to see it a little bit, not just in this game, but also in the game on Thursday night, which is slightly going to get forgotten because of all joy of this. They did very well Thursday night.
I thought that the understanding between Tierney and Emile Smith-Rowe was fantastic today.
Yeah.
And you notice when Smith-Rowe come on, the Willian Tierney thing just didn't connect. Maybe it's because Willian had only just come on. But
Tierney is outrageous. I mean, I'm still to understand fully XG expected goals. But at one point, Orbino tweeted that the way he was playing, his expected goals was like 4 for this game. He was doing so much damage. He was doing so much damage down that side. And as you say, Keith, Smith Rowe, it's just the way he moves. That pass and move. He's on I'll never get bored of seeing someone on the turn pass it and on the turn.
But
that
him
quick.
And Smith Rowe, they were combining so well.
Yeah, they were. But really, the thing you notice about Smith Rowe, and I think this is true of Ødegaard as well. Always in space, always. Mm. All his game really is so simple. It's about running to where there's space. He continually makes runs to where there's space. His first touch is outstanding. His close control is outstanding. And he's only going to get better. That's what's exciting about him. What a talent. But constantly making runs into space, wants to get in the final third, wants to get behind. And really, what a player to have in front of you. And whether you're Partey or Tierney or Granit Xhaka, whoever it is who's looking to get forward, he's always available and in space. I thought he was absolutely superb today, Smith Rowe.
And they made it, is it Reguilon? Whoever they had down the right, Reguilon and Gareth Bale made it very, very easy. That's why it was so important that we scored that goal just before half time, because you knew that Jose was going to try and do something about it at half time. We had so much joy down there. It was really frustrating almost going in one.
Yeah, you felt like you were slightly getting done, didn't you? You could feel it. You could feel yourself getting, hang on a minute, there's a mugger behind me and I can't even break into a run. I'm just going to wait to get mugged here. But we did keep on getting in the box and creating chances and we hit the bar, we hit the post. We missed a chance, and then eventually we got a goal. Brilliant from Tierney to beat Doherty, and Ødegaard gets it. If you get it on target, you might score. You know, don't buy a ticket and all that. And that went in.
Might be slightly curmudgeonly to complain a little bit about Lacazette.
I think it would be too.
There was this sort of accidental step over, and look, that was a wild, wild air shot for the most. Look, and it ended up fantastic. I say air shot, you might say dummy.
What for the penalty? When
poor.
Sanchez wiped him out, that was the best thing that could have happened to him in his season. Because, he fluffed that chance. Mm. But the ball's in play. And Tony Adams, I remember, used to call that a free one. If the striker's having a shot, it's a free one for the defender. You're allowed to smash him. He's having a shot, you can smash him. It's called a free one. And Sanchez thought he had a free one. But then Lacazette didn't get his shot off. It didn't. What that should have been in the crowd or in the seats, but instead it's still bobbling about in play when Sanchez turned up and wiped him out. So it's a foul. It's a foul. If he's miscontrolled it, it's a foul. If it happens anywhere else on the pitch, it's a foul. He's slashed it. He's missed his control. The ball's in play and loose. He wipes him out. It's a foul. It's indisputably a penalty. There's no point. You can say what all you like on Sky, Dawson and Redknapp or whoever it is. That's a foul. That's a penalty. And Lacazette's doing well with pens.
Well,
isn't
if you remember, Man United
didn't we have one of those against us?
If you remember, Rooney went down. I don't know if it was Almunia or brought him down or whoever. He was in a position where he couldn't have conceivably scored in a million years. And he was brought down, but it's a foul in the penalty box. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you've got the ball or not. If you're actually physically assaulted in the penalty box, it's a foul and it's a penalty. That's, the fact that whether Lacazette had the ball or not is immaterial.
But let's talk about the abject misery it must be to be a Tottenham supporter at the moment.
Yes.
Because you're looking at Arsenal down the road in a transition season, having a miserable time, all kinds of problems getting rid of players. Who are they bringing in? A young manager, ups and downs. Everyone's frustrated. They're 10th and all the rest of it. And you're still shit. And even though we're having an awful time, we still beat you. And not only that, none of your players can do anything at all. You only have Kane. Mm. Kane, I went years ago, I must have told you, to watch Brazil play Chile in the World Cup in 98 in Paris. And Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo's playing, obviously, for Brazil. And he did five things in the game. Nothing else. I swear to you, nothing else. He did five things in the game. He hit the bar, he hit the post, he scored, he won a penalty, and he scored the penalty. They were the five things that he did. I mean, he was absolutely deadly. I mean, definitely nothing else, just waiting for the moment to assassinate you. And he was extraordinary. And Kane, high praise to compare him to Ronaldo, perhaps going a bit over the top, but Kane's that sort of a danger. He's that sort of a menace to you if you're defending against him, because he really can't. He always hits the target. His free kick at the post, his disallowed goal was a brilliant header. He's an absolute menace all the time. He's always fouling your players and bumping them and knocking them about so they're off balance. He's getting in behind. He's a bit dirty. He had a nasty one where he took out Gabriel.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, nasty one there. Mm. Could have been a card. So he's a menace all round. He's a danger. If you've got that much talent in your striker, why don't you just get it forward and play attacking football? if you've got Lucas Moura, Gareth Bale and Son, Dele Alli coming off the bench, why don't you play attacking football and go and beat them? What's the point of turning up like that and stinking the place out and doing absolutely nothing? One fluky little playground goal and that's all you offer until you've got 10 men, 15 minutes left and then you start lumping it forward. It must be an absolute misery. They must be bloody grateful that the ground is shut, the old toilet bowl, the lid is closed. They must be really grateful because
they hate him as well.
They are stinking the league out with this football. 20 minutes, first 20 minutes, Arsenal, bit jittery, mid-table, prone to shooting themselves in the foot and all the rest of it, and they didn't even try.
Every Spurs fan I've spoken to, and I do try and keep it at a minimum, Keith. I know.
No. Listen, I've got a next door neighbour that you can break bread with them. It is possible.
Every Spurs fan I've spoken to is very begrudging about it and him and the way that they're playing. Yeah, they've had a decent run recently, but they don't like it. And I'd crow a little bit more if we weren't absolutely nailed on to play them at some point in the Europa League. But until such a time, we'll have to just enjoy it. He was looking very, very annoyed right now on Sky in the background, so I'm going to look forward to listening to that later on.
But you know, the camera went to Mourinho when Lamela got the red card. You know, as soon as he made that foul, Mourinho went, oh,
but he'd done about three or four beforehand,
did, yeah.
And they were just winding up to it on Sky. Like Alan Smith was, that's another one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
They were. They showed a couple little kind of ankle taps he did in the first half. You think, what happens here? If someone's done that and you can see that they've done that, but you can't call that back on the VAR, you can't do anything about that. He could have been. Never mind him. Højbjerg, I don't know how many fouls does he get. I mean, on the fourth one, when the ref called him over, and you thought, and Tyler's basically going, oh, well, here it is. This will be the card then that's been coming. Oh, no, it's another warning. I don't know how many fouls he gets. Maybe because he sort of looks a bit fat and heavy and slow, like he's the one who owns the minibus, so he gets to play centre mid. Okay, gentlemen, when you use the bathroom, you always close the door behind you, right? Right, Keith?
Always. Actually, I've always done that.
You don't want random passers-by looking in on you, so why would you let people look in on you when you go online? Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. Did you know that your internet service provider knows every single website you visit and they can sell this information to ad companies who will use your data to target you? ExpressVPN puts a stop to this. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity can't be seen by anyone. I use ExpressVPN on all of my devices, even the one that I dropped down the loo. It won't protect you if you drop it down the loo. Just to point that out, ExpressVPN will go under, but your other devices will still be protected. It works on your phones and your laptops. It even works on your routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can still be protected even if they don't have ExpressVPN. Using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. You fire up the app, click one button, and you're protected. Not quite as easy. I just don't want to correct them, you know, because obviously they're sponsoring us and we're grateful. But I think it's easier to close the bathroom door. But you know, that's not.
It depends on the door, let's be fair.
Some doors are tricky, especially if you've got to lock it with a key or if it gets stuck. If you're like me and believe your online activity is your business, secure yourself by visiting expressvpn.com/Tuesday. Use the exclusive link expressvpn.com/Tuesday and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Tuesday.
Just before we go on, but just before I forget, Cameo, Keith. Have you heard of...
I've not heard of Cameo, so go on. Is it a television Netflix season? Is it a film?
Well, I mean,
is it a singer?
I'm not talking about Larry Blackman, of course. I know you are a Cameo fan and you know about Candy and the Word Up dance, but I'm talking about the video thing that's been going on recently. I'm just thinking, if you want to make some money for the podcast and actually if we can set Keith up. I think if we could set Keith up on Cameo.
The word set to start, Keith up doesn't sound exactly well, good
to start
for me.
Doing to start doing personalised messages, maybe to Spurs fans.
I'm going to have to intervene here because you have a habit of doing this too, where you run off on some subject and leave Keith in the dust. Cameo is a website where you get for money, you leave personal messages. So you might get...
Oh, I have seen that.
Some quite well-known people do it. But some of them are like, oh, 10,000 quid, I'll say happy birthday. Some of them say, I'll do it for 45.
Yes,
and they
I've
rack up
that.
Hundreds. Yeah, so that's a good idea. Good idea, T.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? I give
let's
a personal
Let's all go on it. We should all go on it.
messages from El Presidente saying...
really? Yeah, I can see it now. Keith Dover, 50 pence.
Write in if you want Keith Dover to do it, and we'll see what we can organise.
50 pence.
That's what it will be.
Keith Dover, 10 pence.
Ten bob. Cash only.
It's the theory of the long tail, just lots of 10p's, basically, to me.
It's worth doing it just to see if anyone actually would stump up some money, isn't it?
Something to think about. Yeah. Something you said as well, Al, we did actually win a game on Thursday, didn't we?
We did win a game on Thursday. We did. Just before we move on to Thursday, can I just say, Martin Tyler, as you know, is a very much-loved commentator, and we always feel like there's a little hint of Arsenal bias in there from Martin. Him and Smithy get on very well there together, and it's always... But at one point in the game, towards the end of the game, he said, they just can't hack it here in Arsenal territory, and that's one of those things that ought to go up somewhere in the stadium. That's got a banner written all over it.
Yeah.
They just can't hack it here in Arsenal territory. Yeah, now, we play Olympiacos again on Thursday. Do we know yet if that is at the Emirates or what?
Yes, I think it is at the Emirates, isn't it?
They kept saying... back at the Emirates, and I didn't realise, but it does seem to be happening.
Yeah, the reason why I think it was because when we played Benfica, Portugal was on a like red alert with the COVID thing, so they couldn't come to Britain, and that's why it was played. And obviously Benfica couldn't play in Portugal because we couldn't go to Portugal, so that's why we then played that tie in Athens.
But the Greeks can come here. 3-1 down.
Yes.
We tried to make a mess of it, didn't we? We give away a goal.
Oh, don't worry, you know, Thursday night, let's get, you know.
Yeah, Bernd Leno give away a goal. We are going to have to stop giving away goals or we will get knocked out of this thing.
I was just going to say, this is where I have a problem with Arteta, because I would say to him, he's putting too much pressure on our players to keep playing it out all the time. We are not Manchester City. We have not got that quality. So I'd say to our guys, listen, play it out when you can. But if you don't feel comfortable, just boot it out.
I don't even think you have to be Manchester City. I mean, we're not Manchester City in that we don't have Edison in goal. Mm. And Edison is able to get his head up and hit the ball into the opposition half, isn't he? It's Leno's terrible error. Mm. And, I mean, it was Xhaka's error at Burnley, but Leno still nonetheless...
Yeah.
Put pressure on him in his own box, and once he'd taken the touch, he was in all sorts of trouble instead of just laying it off first time. But the one to Ceballos was a terrible pass. I mean, what was he doing to him, really? But of course, Ceballos, the moment he came to him, he needed a shout or he needed just to kick that as hard as he could into the stand and say, what are you playing at? Don't put me in this shit. I do remember, and I know we shouldn't go on about it, but we do. When Leno came back into the team to take over from Martinez, you did notice straight away that things slowed down when the ball came to his feet. He just doesn't have quick feet. He just doesn't have. He's slower than Martinez with his distribution, and he is a problem. But it's one of many problems. We're capable of making mistakes that lead to goals in all sorts of areas. We're going to have to stop doing it. But having said all of those things, three absolute worldy goals we scored, didn't we? Fantastic goals.
When we brought Elneny on, I was texting to you guys and I said, have we put the goals at the side of the pitch? Because that's the only way. And then he scores a goal, which is like, did you just think, how? What? We, and you just said you could do that the next time you play, Elneny. You know, so.
Well, he did do it against Dundalk, didn't he? Put one in the top corner from outside the box.
Yeah.
It was really nice how they celebrated with him. And they were saying today about how he's a popular member. I don't know if you heard that, popular member of the team. But it was really nice the way that they sort of celebrated with him. How excited they were for him. Lovely bit of swaz on it going away from the keeper. But Ødegaard's one was a rocket.
Oh. Ødegaard hit that well. And that actually, that came from a lot of pressing and high up in their third, and lots of people chasing the ball down and winning the ball back high up the pitch, which I'm sure, again, is something that Arteta will be made up about, that led to a chance. And he really leathered that, didn't he? And then the header, I don't even think... At that point, we're one all and we've made a cock-up and I'm thinking, oh, don't lose this game. We should have. Oh. We were so much better in the first half. When Willian put a crossing for Aubameyang that he overhit, but Gabriel turned up. What a jump and a header that was. It was like Tony Adams.
Yeah, falling backwards.
Yes.
Falling backwards, power on it. It was an absolutely brilliant header.
It really was. Willian didn't even celebrate because I think he was as shocked as everyone else. Gabriel just made a decision to turn that into a goal. It was a magnificent header.
Did it actually go to VAR? Because I was listening on the radio. They said, oh, it's gone to VAR. Yeah. But it did go to VAR.
Yeah, they had a little look at it, but it was never enough.
Because when he jumped, he totally clattered the guy he jumped. But the guy did was stay down. Was it in VAR? He stayed down for a long time, all the way through the VAR check, as if he was going to have to go off on a stretcher. But there was absolutely nothing wrong with him at all. It was all just kidology to try and get the goal disallowed, and it wasn't a foul. It was a perfectly good header. It was a brilliant header. Yeah. He's a big lad. Imagine him jumping in. Yeah, you wouldn't want that.
And because of the excellent man management of Mikel Arteta, we've got a fully rested centre forward for
oh my gosh
for Thursday.
Well, now we've ventured into the dark zone.
Talk to me how you felt when the news came through, Al. Go on.
I was really. You don't want to. Let's not spoil the mood.
I was too scared to pick up the phone on our WhatsApp group.
I was absolutely spitting teeth. How is it possibly the right decision to leave out your top, your goal scorer, your main man, your guy who's getting goals recently, he's been doing it for years. Because he was late? Yep. I mean, how many times have you got to be late before you get dropped? And you're going to do it on this game? You're going to make an example for being late? Well, it's not the under-15s, right? You made the coach late, you're on the bench.
I'd never get on this podcast ever.
I mean, really? And then to say, the thing that does get on my nerves about it is he goes, we have a process where there is a line, we move on. And the interview basically says, what did he do? He goes, oh, we'll keep that internal. No, Mikel, there is no internal. Your wages are paid for by us. We're the fans. You tell us. It's not your private domain, this club. It's Arsenal. And if you leave him out because he's giving you the ump and we lose that game, people are going to want to know from you what's happened, and you're going to have to say, we keep that internal. You're a lucky boy that they turned up and Lacazette stuck that penalty in the net and we got the win. Tottenham didn't turn up. Son went off injured. Things went our way on the day, and we thoroughly deserved to win, by the way.
But still, nevertheless, it's still the start. It's the start of the... I put that picture in a group of one of my favourite films of Elliot Gould in The Long Goodbye. It starts then.
Well, I don't know.
Like, you've turned the captain against. It's a big enemy to make.
I think it was Waddle on the radio kept saying, you hit the player in the pocket. Hit him in the pocket. Yeah. That's what they care about. Players, he must have said it six times if he said it once. Players don't want to be hit in the pocket. They don't like being hit in the pocket. You hit them in the pocket, that's where it counts. What they like is their money. That is what they like. And they don't like being hit in the pocket. You hit them in the pocket.
Say it again,
Chris. What do they not like, Chris? They don't want to be hit in the pocket. They don't want to be hit in the pocket. What sort of a message does it send out?
Ferguson or Brian Clough would have dealt with that. Maybe they would have hit him in the pocket, but they would have done something where that player would have really known that they're fucked up.
They would have just lied, Keith. Yeah. Ferguson said he's injured.
Yeah, he's injured.
He's injured in the warm-up.
Yeah.
And he's injured. And that's it. Yeah. And no, he doesn't. When he says this, we'll keep it internally. You're not keeping it internally, mate. You're saying it on television. You're throwing him under the bus. All anyone's talking about is what happened. We turn out it's just because he was late. Has he been texting Mrs. Arteta? What's going on there? It's Aubameyang. It's not some kid in the youth team.
Exactly that. It might have been Gary Neville. One of the former Man United players who was in the dressing room the day that Cantona jumped into the crowd. In the dressing room afterwards, I think it's Ferdinand who said it actually. In the dressing room afterwards, Ferguson's bawling out some of the other players, like giving them a right old kicking for something that's happened on the pitch. And he turns to Eric Cantona and he goes, "Eric, you can't be doing that." And I love that. And that is how you deal with the person who wins you the most games at your club. Hit him in the pocket, as Chris Waddle was saying, but don't chuck him, as you say, out under the bus like that. Absolutely bin him off in front of everyone.
Unbelievable.
And you're lucky that we won the game, because otherwise that is it. But it's not done.
It's still going to run and run. We still don't know what happened with Mesut Ozil, why he played him every single game before the lockdown and then dropped him. We don't know. We still don't know. With the Guendouzi thing, sending him out on loan because he's, what's he done? Taking the piss, being rude, not respecting him, whatever he's done. Arteta's tried to make it. How many people do you want to make an example of? But this is the derby. This is Tottenham at home.
And that's the captain.
It's the captain. It's your top goal scorer. What happens if you need this bloke? I don't care how pissed off you are. Hit them in the pocket. Just hit them in the pocket. That's what they hit. They don't like being hit in the pocket.
Or kicked in the bollocks. Which he could have done Monday morning.
Kick him in the bollocks. On Monday morning, kick him in the bollocks.
Yeah. You know, just go up to him and just say, I just want to have a quiet word with you about you being late. And if he laughs it off and then the rest of the team start laughing, then you just go over right in the nuts. He's on the deck. You go, I'm going to laugh that one off. Are we going to be late again?
But the arrogance of the interview, this kind of we draw a line under it, we move on. We have a process, we move it. No, no one's moving on. This will never, ever be forgotten. Just imagine if Thierry Henry was late and Wenger left him out. It's absolutely... Henry could turn up at 1 minute to three and change out of his suit on the touchline and Wenger would still pick him, because Wenger's not an idiot. Dixon famous, we've said it here many times, Dixon said... Wenger thinks the sun shines out of his arse, Henri's arse. And then he pulls and he goes, probably does so.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can't keep this thing in-house. We knew at half-time, the commentator says, we now know he was late. So somebody leaked it straight away.
Yeah, they can fix everything. Now what? We will not rest until we found out who leaked it. I'll do you a favour. They've all got agents and they all talk to press and everyone's, Jesus, it's so naive. So, I don't know. So what does, maybe he thinks he's got a win out of that because he's shown up Aubameyang in front of the squad. Aubameyang won't be late again now. He probably will. I imagine he's got 78 unpaid parking tickets. Can you imagine? His passport's probably out of date.
Soon to be seen on the bailiffs are coming. Is this your car, sir? Yeah, we're taking it.
Imagine how many times he's been clamped. Arteta's never been clamped in his life. He's never had a parking ticket. He's never even had 3 points. Aubameyang's pranged about 6 Lamborghinis. He's pranged Lamborghinis in every major European capital.
He's got a wheel clamp, so he just went and got another. Just got another car.
This one's clamped. Get the Ferrari out.
I think that's actually. Didn't Jermaine Pennant do something like that? Like he left a club. Was he on loan in Spain or something? And he left behind his.
He couldn't remember where it was parked.
He couldn't remember where. He couldn't remember where it was. Something like that.
I think he was in a car park in somewhere. It's covered in dust. I don't know if he ever found it. You know, but. Yeah, he couldn't remember where he parked it. But
no, I thought that really was... I mean, I don't know if it's either a moment of genius or a moment of madness. And there's a fine line, right? But really, Oba must have been pissing him off for months. Or he just had a moment of absolute madness. He thinks, "This is I'll show him. I'll show him who's the boss around here.
Well, the thing is now, it's we're talking about this, and we shouldn't be, but how many times has he been late in the past? Was this the final straw? As you say,
how many times has he been on time, Keith? I mean, really, how many times?
It's more like that, basically. What do you think of Saka coming off at half time? He's been struggling a little bit the last few weeks, hasn't he?
He took a little bit of an injury there.
And he wants it for Thursday night. He'll have him for playing Thursday.
It was a hamstring. Jay's telling us it was a hamstring.
Yeah, it could only have been an injury thing. And all being well, even we can't balls up 3-1. With three away goals.
We can
lose 3-0 at home to them. To an NPR cost.
No, we can make it hard for ourselves. We can sweat on it.
Surely. Well, what I was going to say was someone else is going to have to play because Saka won't be available if he's got a sore hamstring, will he? But as you say, Aubameyang fighting fit. Aubameyang will be there about 1 o'clock Thursday.
Has anyone seen Martinelli? He wasn't even on the.
Has anyone seen Martinelli? It's a good title for this podcast. Where the hell is Martinelli? I mean, in the end, it turns out that there's 25 man. You need a 25 man squad and all that, but he doesn't pick them, does he? He doesn't pick all of them. Arteta, he picks from quite a small pool of players. There are lots of players. You're either in or you're out, really. Mm. Lots of players don't really get a look in. And once you're out of the side, you like Danny Ceballos for a while, or Nenny for a while, you thought, these guys are doing well. But Partey's the main man. He never drops Xhaka. Xhaka's left-footed. I think in the end, that's the thing that saves him, is that he can drop in on the left-hand side. When the fullbacks go, he can drop on the left-hand side of the centre-backs and make a three and pass from there quite deep. And it didn't work against Leicester at home, but it's quite effective when you've got Kieran Tierney, whose average on-field position was ahead of Emile Smith Rowe. I mean, that's how much time he spends galloping down the flank. So the fact that Granit Xhaka is left-footed and can drop in on the left-hand side, I honestly think that's what keeps him the shirt, and he's being coached to play that role in Arsenal's team. And there is no one else in midfield who is left-footed, is there? I mean, unless he opts for a back three with Pablo Mari.
He just chose Suarez ahead of Bellerin, right? Suarez.
I think that's a very, very tight call. I think he expected to have a lot more to deal with Son, and I think that Bellerin had a bit of a panic on against Son in the away game, and I think he perhaps feels a bit that Cedric's a bit more sort of sturdy as a fullback than Bellerin. Bellerin likes to bomb on, doesn't he? But Son is a frightening prospect. Yeah. He's a very, very dangerous player. And then when he went off, that was a big plus for us. Also, he's a diving chip.
Yes.
Let's not forget who we're talking about here. Yeah, he's an absolute scumbag of the first order.
Everything you were saying about Harry Kane, which we can... You know, obviously we can be as effusive about.
Goodbye, Harry. Goodbye, Harry. Goodbye, Harry. Goodbye. It's lovely in Paris. Beautiful. Munich, great city. I mean, Germany's a wonderful country. Lewandowski's knocking on. Neymar's a lunatic, but he'll give you some lovely passes. Where do you want to play? Who do you want to play for?
Harry Kane sitting there going, I'm this good.
What a waste.
I've got this manager.
Do, 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 what a waste. Do, 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 what a waste. Do, do. He's got to go from there. He's got to look in the mirror and he's got to say, I need to leave this place. I'm the only one who can do anything. If I don't shoot, no one shoots. They're rubbish. Gareth Bale's an absolute donkey. I thought he was a monkey. No, he's a donkey.
It'd be great if he took both of them, wouldn't he? If PSG took both of them. If PSG takes Son and Kane, then that would just be...
Pochettino wants Kane. Pochettino, he knows exactly how good Kane is. No one
Can't
knows
win
better.
The Champions League here, son.
He really wants him. You know he does. And if this situation with Mbappe ends up with Mbappe sold, there's only one place he's going to look for a replacement forward.
Oh. I mean, the irony is, if we'd have kept Kane, let's say, he probably would have won a few FA Cups, maybe even a UEFA Cup. Then we would have sold him, you know. But at least he would have gone with some medals, you know. We probably would have sold him for just 30 million. At least give Daniel Levy his due. He'll probably sell him for 250 million, but he will go.
But that's it. Surely, yeah, we go and buy Pepe for 72. Yeah. And they go and sell Kane for about 300 once Levy's done.
We still think that there's a possibility, of course, that we might see Kane again, because he might turn up at the Emirates in a... in a Europa League.
Oh, no. Oh, that's
going to be... quarter-final. Oh, we don't know, do we, if we can play... I think we can play English teams from the quarter-finals on.
Oh, yes, we can. Oh, yes, we can.
So we might yet see. We might yet see Harry.
Oh, let's not. No, let's not. Let's not think about that. Greg, do an amazing turnaround. It's not going to happen, but it'd be brilliant if
it
did.
It would be funny.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious.
It would be funny.
We could do a podcast that evening, couldn't we? Just on Dino Zagreb.
Now, I've got some quizzes. Do you want to do a quiz? People are sending me so many quizzes. Well, I'm getting quizzes are coming out of my ears now. So if you like quizzes, you're in the right place. This one is all kinds of... It's not just about Arsenal, although it's mainly about Arsenal. They're sort of Arsenal-related questions, some of them. There are six questions from Mike Slaughter.
Good name.
Hi, chaps. Here's a mini quiz for the team to dwell on while the listeners frantically shout out the answers.
I've seen this on Twitter. I do find that funny when I hear people going, I was shouting, Wigan.
Yeah, a few people got leads last week before we did. Anyway, question one. What club, and some of these you're just not going to get, but they're interesting. Yeah. They're more kind of interesting. What club played their UEFA Cup home games at Highbury in the 1984-85 season?
QPR?
Oh, my God. It's just scored straight from the kickoff. Did you know that?
Yeah,
was that
I did.
A guess?
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah.
I have no memory of that at all.
They did, yeah. And I think that was...
Do you know why?
I think it was the plastic pitch.
It was the plastic pitch.
Keith Dover. It's like the time when you said that you'd been to the ballet and we were all kind of like...
No, I haven't been to the ballet. I've been to the Globe Theatre to see Shakespeare, but I haven't been to the ballet.
Well, I'm proud of you. Yeah, I'm proud of you.
That's fantastic knowledge, Keith. Get into
it. That's great knowledge. That's great knowledge. QPR in a plastic pitch. We played on it, didn't we, Arsenal? And I seem to remember a throw-in came in, bounced on the pitch, which was really hard and bouncy, went up over our defender to one of their players, and he scored from it. They had the worst away record in the division, QPR, but their home record was outstanding because nobody could play on the wretched plastic pitch. Plastic pitches have improved. Oh, good. So Dover 1-0 up. Okay, question two. Name the last FA Cup semi-final to be played at Highbury. This was this game, to give you a, if you want a clue of the year. Do you want the year as a clue?
Give us the year, yeah.
1997.
Hmm. What a wait.
Was Villa involved? No. You're thinking, I think, of the Villa got to the final in 2000, I think, and lost to Chelsea. No, 97. Two London sides.
Chelsea, well, it would have been Chelsea's one of them.
Chelsea is one of them. They went on to win the cup. But who do they defeat?
Oh, well,
you'll never get it. It was Wimbledon.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, wow. Wimbledon got to the cup semi-final in 1997. And it was played at Highbury, and Chelsea were victorious. All right, number three. In 1971, Manchester United versus Arsenal was played at which ground due to a two-match home ban for Manchester United due to hooliganism? So Man U had a two-game home ban, you think 50 years ago.
Wow. It was,
still, this shit was going on.
Yeah. Hillsborough.
No, it wasn't Hillsborough. It wasn't Hillsborough. Good guess. It's a good guess. It's a possible.
Read the
but
question
it's not.
Out again. Go on.
Man United had to play two home games away from Old Trafford. Right. Because they had a two home game ban, and one of those was against Arsenal. Can you remember which ground, or do you, anyone have a stab at a guess at which ground?
Main Road.
You'd be surprised. No, the answer is Anfield.
Really?
Yeah. Bloody Man United. Hell. I don't know if there were fans in. I thought Man United fans filling up the Cop End. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
I like
but there
this
you
quiz,
are.
Even though I don't know any of the answers.
It's a good quiz. It's a very good quiz, isn't it? I don't know what the score was in that game. But
1-0 to Keith.
Oh, 1-0 to Keith, still 1-0 up. Now, question four. Arsenal played an away game at Hamburg in the Champions League in 2006. Why didn't we go with that? Must have been a reason why we didn't go with that. That's an absolute... A night on the Reaper Barn, Keith. How did we miss out on that one? How did we miss out on that? I went to Hamburg once, and I was on the Reaper Barn. I was on the Reaper Barn, and a bloke came up to me, and he goes, "Live blowjob," and pointed to a doorway. meaning if you go in this doorway, you can watch a bloke being sucked off. And then I just it obviously looked like he just said, a live chicken being eaten. I looked so appalled. And he looked at me in disbelief. Surely everyone wants to see a man being sucked off.
No, funny enough, you don't.
I don't want to see a man being sucked off. I don't care who by it. When it's in your face like that, do you want to come in here? Just the other side of this door. There's a man being sucked off. You can go in. So, listen, you're all right. I really don't want to. I've now know that I don't want to do that. And I've been there twice, Hamburg, and the other time I went there was with your and my good friend Keith Rainer Hirsch.
Rainer.
He's a brilliant musical comedian, lovely bloke. And we went down to the Reaper Barn, and there's a street off the Reaper Barn, and there's a big sign in German. Rainer speaks German, and it says "No women allowed and no men under 18." And we said, "Ooh." And there's a kind of a little alleyway, little gate thing you have to walk through, and then you're in it, and it's just all windows full of women in their underwear. All and they open the windows and they shout out to you in German, basically saying, "Are you man enough to pay for sex with me or someone a little bit less good looking than me in the back?" But we were both, and again, when it's just handed to you on a plate, you find out, are you man or a mouse? And we were just absolute mice. We were nearly holding hands by the end of that street. I've never regretted going down a road so much. People were leaning out and yelling at us, and we were shying away like Ronaldo in a wall for a free kick.
Dear.
Anyway. Yeah, enough anecdotes about Hamburg. It's a fantastic city, just like all German cities I've been in. I love Germany. Sometimes I wish I was German.
I've forgotten the question there. So we...
I haven't even asked you.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's coming now. Arsenal.
Like the bloke in Hamburg.
Like the bloke in, yeah. Arsenal were forced to change their shirt sponsor for the away game at Hamburg, due to both teams being sponsored by Fly Emirates. Arsenal had what on their shirt instead?
In 2006.
They couldn't have Fly Emirates on their shirt. Yeah. They had to have something, a different thing on their shirt. What did it say?
Don't fly.
This would be a miracle. If anyone, all those people getting in touch, going, I was shouting. None of you are shouting. There's a definite silence amongst the freeloading scum here. An absolute silence. If anyone even pretends they got this, they're lying. Unless they were at that game recovering from watching a live bloke.
Right, so hold on. Who would we have had on there? So it should have been Emirates.
It should have been Emirates, but it wasn't.
Single word. Five-letter word. Beginning with D.
Oh, blimey.
Isn't it?
Dubai. Only because of the clues, Emirates instead, right.
Good clues there, you see. It's an equaliser, Keith. He's got an equaliser. You're distracted. I can tell you're distracted by the live blowjob.
It was, yes. It's throwing me a bit.
Right, this is the chance. This is the easiest question of the quiz coming up. It's the easiest question. You'll both get this. It's just who's going to buzz in. Which footballer was paraded in front of the crowd before the Arsenal v Aston Villa game at Highbury in 1981?
Pele.
Yes, he's in. He scored.
I was there.
Simple finish. Yeah. Aaron Ramsey, yeah. 2017 cup final. Heads in, Giroud's cross. Oh. Firmly.
Got
but
there.
You've got a chance here, T, for a draw.
Like, I haven't lost to Keith yet. He's always been in my shadow in these quizzes. Always in my shadow.
Well, this is a good one here. This is one of those things where, well, I'll say what afterwards. Okay, here we go. What was Cesc Fabregas's first shirt number for Arsenal?
Seven.
Hey?
Seven?
No.
30.
Oh. Higher.
It wasn't 56, was it?
Oh, so close.
Oh, 57.
So close. Oh. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No, you can't have it off the post.
Oh, I've had it off the post. Tony had it off the post last week.
Oh, so my God. What did I say? 56.
Who was that we were talking about last week who robbed a goal?
Oh.
Who was that striker? I can't even remember now. The one who robbed a goal that was already going in there. Yeah, that's what you've done there.
Defoe did that.
No, it wasn't him. It was the one who used to play for Bury. Oh, God. My memory. Yeah. 55 years old, can't remember a thing. Well, Keith, you've won that quiz.
Okay.
Oh, well gutted. Done.
Right.
Excellent quiz.
Now,
excellent quiz.
I've got a quiz, and I know, inspired by the Voltaire or Wenger. So, this is...
Excellent news.
It was, yeah. So this,
Voltaire.
This, yeah, so, this is Mussolini or Mourinho. So, with me on the show is that great television comedian and actor, Mr. Allen. And so,
why are you doing it in this voice? Oh, don't do it in this voice.
Okay, all right.
Do it in your normal voice. Okay. It's too annoying.
All right. Okay, so the first one.
Yeah.
All right, the first one. So don't forget Mussolini or Benny to his friends or Mourinho. Okay? I want to make my own life a masterpiece. Is it Mussolini or Mourinho? Want to make my own life a masterpiece.
I'm going Mourinho.
T, you're absolutely correct. It's Mussolini.
It's 1-0.
1-0 to T there. Write
that down. This is brilliant.
It's good,
isn't it? How many have you got here?
Six.
How many are there?
Six. You just tell us when to start.
Okay. No. I just need to know. I'm behind already. I need to know.
Okay. I need my time to be lonely.
Wow.
Oh.
That's gotta be Mussolini.
Wow. I'm gonna go Mourinho then.
Alan, you're correct. 1-1, it's Mourinho. Good day.
Is it your quizmaster's voice?
It is my quizmaster.
Oh, you're correct.
I can't stop it, sir.
Who is it? Is it Leslie Crown? Who's it influenced by?
I think it's who's the guy who used to do Bullseye. You know,
Bullseye,
right? Yeah, I was going to say.
That is what you could have won. Lovely. Lovely cheese.
Somewhere between Bullseye and John Inman.
Go on, then.
Okay, all right, the next one. Trust me, it's really difficult to find a Mussolini quote that doesn't involve smashing someone's head in. It's really, really hard.
Right. Whereas Mourinho's more just eye gouging.
Our eye gouging and look how good I am. So, all right, it's good to trust others, but not to do so is much better. So it's good to trust others, but not to do so is much better.
It's good to trust
others, but not to do so is much better.
I'm going Mussolini.
Mussolini. You don't have to go the opposite way. You can go.
You can go the same way.
I reckon it's Mussolini.
Correct. It was Mussolini.
Oh,
that's a bit too deep for
Mourinho. Okay.
Oh, wow. So it's still a draw.
Still
three
draw.
Questions left.
Yeah. Journalism is not a profession, but a mission.
Wow. Oh. Wow. Ooh. I'm going Mourinho.
I'm going Mourinho too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both wrong. It's Mussolini.
Oh!
El Duce.
I feel like that was a chance.
It was an open goal, T.
It was a chance. Could have put this to bed.
It could have just stuck that away. Two questions left.
Okay. All right. You don't have to love me. You don't even have to like me.
Mourinho.
Oh, well, he got in first.
Finish it.
But you will respect me.
Oh, well.
So he got in quick. Wow. Oh, see, it could have been a Mussolini, you know.
Yeah. Oh, all right, go on then. Okay. So you're one up, so I need to equalise.
Okay. Youth is a malady of which one becomes cured of a little every day. Youth is a malady of which one becomes cured of a little every day.
Oh, well, God, that could be either of them.
I was going to say, given his record playing young players, it could easily be Mourinho, but I don't think he's got malady in his dictionary.
On.
So I'm going Mussolini.
You're going Mussolini as well?
It's Mussolini.
Oh, it is. Oh, he's done me. Oh, good quiz, Keith.
He put some thought into that, Keith.
Well, okay. No, I just, went on, the internet and went through them. But, yeah, you do, because it's difficult because, Mourinho mentions football a lot, so that's a giveaway. And as I say, with Mussolini, it's like the only time you meet a good socialist is when he's at the end of your boot. So that sort of gives the plot away, really.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that why I have received in the Tuesday Club post bag, Tuesday Club, we're still on email, listener. You may think that we're living in the late 20th century. Perhaps we are. Yeah. But that is how to contact us, tuesdayclubpodcast@gmail.com or at Not You Bentley, the Twitter feed. So I've been sent four or other Mussolini or Mourinho quizzes.
Let's play.
And I dare say there'll be some crossover. I'm looking at the first one here, which has come from Sam King. And he does have, as his third one, is good to trust others, but not to do so is much better, by Mussolini. But he's got nine others here I don't think are copied. So let's start off, see how we go with these. Number one, God must think I'm great. He must think that, because otherwise he would not have given me so much.
Ooh. Mourinho.
I've put away my questions, by the way, so I'm not going to cheat. I've put them away.
Okay.
You know me, I won't remember.
Feels Mourinho-ish.
Feels very Mourinho.
T's gone Mourinho. You go Mourinho,
I'm going
Keith?
Mourinho on this,
It is Mourinho.
Yeah.
It is Mourinho.
But it's difficult, though, isn't it? Because there's a bit of Mussolini in there.
Okay, here we go. Number two. This is a tricky one. Number two. The league is very well when sparrows shout, but no good at all when eagles fall out.
Oh, that's got to be Mussolini.
Well, you have to remember, I will say this, you have to remember that some of these things that Mourinho might have said won't necessarily, will have been translated. Because he can speak many languages and he's managed all around Europe. So if I sound a bit weird, doesn't necessarily mean it's the work of Benito. Okay, the league is very well when sparrows shout, but no good at all when eagles fall out. Mussolini? Or Mourinho's.
You know, that's fantastic. It is a good one, isn't it? I wish I didn't come across that. But,
Who's it, are you going for?
I'm going Mourinho.
I'm going to go Mussolini just to be different from.
Oh, it is Mussolini.
Oh, wow.
It is Mussolini. And Sam has put Mussolini and then no idea what the league is. Some sort of league of fascisties.
I think it was something like that, yeah.
So that means Keith's one up. Number three, it's good to trust others, but not to do so is much better. We know that's Mussolini. Number four, fear is not a word in my dictionary.
Mourinho, that's just...
It's got to be Mourinho. I'll go Mourinho.
You go Mourinho, it is Mourinho, yes. Mm. Number five, I have nothing. Nothing to say, nothing. Nothing to say, nothing to say. I have nothing to say, nothing to say. I have nothing to say.
Jose.
Mussolini or Mourinho?
Absolutely Jose Mourinho.
It's so good, isn't it?
The one thing you learn about dictators is they do like to talk a lot.
That's really too good.
So good. Did you notice today, by the way, in the game, I'll digress for a moment, that at one point Martin Tyler said, it's all or nothing for Tottenham.
Yes.
Did you notice that? That was no accident. That was a dig.
He's absolutely trolling them on our behalf, isn't he? He's one of us.
He really was. He really did. That slipped out. Yeah, I loved it. Okay, number six. it is better to live one day as a lion than 100 years as a sheep.
Oh, no.
Well, I actually know that's Mussolini. That's one of his most famous ones.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I was going to read out too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also, in the modern translation of that, is it's better to live one day as an Arsenal fan than 100 years as a Tottenham supporter. And I have no doubt that that is true.
Can you have that as our title for the podcast?
Really? Yeah, yeah. Honestly, Tottenham fans, listen to this, and I know many of you have changed your viewing, your listening habits this week. You were all set to download us, and we shat on your faith in. And but yeah, I can promise you, one day as an Arsenal fan is better than 100 years with your lot. Number seven. Sometimes you see beautiful people with no brains. Sometimes you have ugly people who are intelligent, like scientists. Mussolini or Mourinho?
This is excellence. This is outstanding work.
An egomaniacal dictator. could be either.
Raving loony.
I'm keeping this one as a Mourinho one.
What? Yeah, Keith.
Well, Keith? I know it's a Mourinho one because that's one of the ones I pulled out too. So I like the way the guy thinks, but I'll give that one to T.
All right, then. Okay, so an equaliser. So there's so we're level with three to go. We become strong when we have no friends upon whom to lean.
Ooh.
We become strong when we have no friends.
Well, it sounds very Mussolini, but that's...
Yeah, you're going Mussolini?
I'm going Mussolini.
Yeah, you're both right. It's Mussolini. But... Two to go.
Mourinho doesn't have any friends anyway.
No, and that's deliberate. he would have you believe. He really does look... Normally, he has quite a little gang around him, doesn't he, in the technical area?
They've had it as well. Gareth Bale was very delightfully pissed off today when he came off. Did you see that? You enjoy that?
Yeah, I did enjoy that. But, I mean, he did. I mean, he just didn't turn up,
did he? Stank the place out, didn't he?
Just made no contribution. He made Pepe look like John Barnes playing for Liverpool. Okay, number nine. The history of saints is mainly the history of insane people. Mussolini or Mourinho?
I might have heard that one before as a Mussolini.
It is Mussolini. That's another one
I know. Okay, here we go. Let's see. This is the last one, and this is the decider. One day, somebody will punch you.
And that's all she wrote. Yeah, that's Mourinho. Fantastic.
Excellent quiz there from Sam Keogh.
Well done, Sam. Good one, Sam.
Great work, yeah. Sam. There's another one here from Alessandro Di Marco. It's a promising name for someone sending in a Mussolini quiz. Not all of them have been done already. Okay. So I'll just go through the ones that haven't been done already. Okay. So the first one that hasn't been done already is, I have a problem, which is I'm getting better at everything related to my job since I started.
I think that's Mourinho, yeah.
It's Mourinho. Yeah. Mussolini never referred to it as a job, did he? Try this one, though. We are a little horse, a horse that still needs milk and to learn how to jump.
That's Mourinho.
Yes, it is Mourinho.
Who was he talking about? What club?
No, but it does sound very Mussolini.
I don't know. It does sound Mussolini, doesn't he? A little horse that needs to learn how to jump. I don't know what he was talking about. Here's another one. I think the lady needs to occupy her time, and if she takes care of her husband's diet, she will have less time to speak about me.
Oh, that could so easily be Mourinho. That's amazing. But
it's got to be
Mussolini. But yeah, it could.
It's Mourinho.
No,
it's Mourinho.
The little lady. What's wrong with him?
I think the lady, no, you didn't say the little lady. I think the lady needs to occupy her time. If she takes care of her husband's diet, she'll have less time to speak about me. God knows what's going on.
Awful man.
Okay. The struggle between the two worlds can permit no compromises. It's either us or them.
Oh, that's got to be Mussolini, surely, yes.
It is Mussolini. Yeah. It's Mussolini. I only talk about men, not of rude children.
Oh,
Mourinho.
That's Mourinho.
It's Mourinho. Yeah. So that's Alex DiMarco's contributions. Yeah, well, several others have already been. But he says, from a freeloading university student.
Good man.
So I hope you get to be a proper university student soon. Still a couple more of these. I'll have a little...
Let's save them for next week. I mean,
no, let's get... I'll just crack on. Ben Sally, number one, inactivity is death. Mussolini or Mourinho?
Oh, I'm going to go Mourinho.
I'm going... Yeah? I'm going Mussolini.
It's Mussolini. It's Mussolini. The moral of the story is not to listen to those who tell you not to play the violin, but to play the tambourine. Don't listen to those who tell you not to play the violin and to play the tambourine.
I'm going Mourinho.
I was going to say, can I go Arsene?
Yes.
Scott.
That's Sean Dyche. No, it's Mourinho.
It's Mourinho, yeah.
It's Mourinho. If you want, you can make silence very noisy. Mourinho or Mussolini?
Mourinho.
That is Mourinho.
Where has he had time to come out with all this garbage? Why hasn't he been winning? Is it because he hasn't? This must all come since like 2006 when he stopped winning.
He certainly hasn't come out with anything like this since he joined Tottenham. Obviously, the air that round there has made.
There's a few more. Just quickly, little short ones which I quite like. The only thing we cannot control is our supporters. Mussolini or Mourinho?
Oh, you see, he could have been at Chelsea when he said that. So that's
Who are you going with?
Oh,
I'm going with Mussolini because I can't remember.
I'm going to go with Mourinho just for the sake of it.
It's Mourinho.
Yeah.
It's Mourinho. This is a good one. Silence is the only answer you should give to fools. Mourinho or Mussolini? Silence is the only answer you should give to fools.
I'm going to go on Mourinho because having seen some of the previous statements, Mussolini's normally has a save extreme violence.
Mourinho, what about you, T?
I am feeling Mourinho with that one.
It's Mussolini.
No!
Yes.
I mean, I was in a good mood that day.
Okay, here's another one. Believe, obey, fight. Mussolini or Mourinho?
This is excellent. Believe, obey, fight. Mussolini, but could easily have been
that
terrible dictator himself.
Who are you going with?
I'll go with Mussolini.
Mussolini is right. Okay, here's a good one. Unhappy is a nice word. Mussolini or Mourinho?
I almost remember him saying it, so I'm saying Mourinho.
It was Mourinho. And finally, from Ben Sally, who says, love the podcast, all the best from Portugal. His last one is, I feel myself as an old fox. Nothing scares me. Nothing worries me. Mussolini or Mourinho?
This is so
good.
It's
a good one, I've
got to say. That's my favourite quote of the lot.
Oh.
I'm going to go Mourinho just because I want it to be.
I'm going to go Mourinho because I want it to
be. It is Mourinho.
Oh, well.
Of course it is.
It is Mourinho. Yeah. Excellent work. Excellent very good. Intel. Very, very good stuff. Yeah. And there's even one more from Geriatric. We want to follow a dream, but it's one thing to follow a dream and another to follow an obsession.
Ooh.
A dream is more pure than obsession. A dream is about pride. Whoa.
Oh, that's
whoa.
Deep.
Wow,
that's
whoa.
Deep. That's deep. That's Mourinho.
Oh, it is Mourinho.
Wow.
We do not argue with those who disagree with us. We destroy them.
Oh, Mussolini.
Yeah.
However, it is
Mussolini. This is another favourite. I do like this quote. Look at my haircut. I am ready for the war.
You could see Mourinho saying this, couldn't you?
Yeah, it was Mourinho. Yeah. It was Mourinho.
Was it? Oh, I thought it was.
How prick he is.
Oh, God, I thought that was nailed on Mussolini.
No, that's Mourinho. The world is so competitive, aggressive, consuming and selfish. During the time we spend here, we must be all but that.
Sounds
quite deep.
Very deep.
Mourinho.
It is Mourinho. Wow. There is a difference between the brave, who want to be there at any cost, and the ones for whom a little pain can make a difference.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it's the last one.
All right.
So dis-
Mussolini.
Mourinho. Mourinho.
Well, I say Mussolini. Okay.
It's Mourinho.
Oh, well done.
It's Mourinho. Yeah. We did mention earlier in this chat Cristiano Ronaldo's behaviour in the wall for Juventus. I mean, did you see it, Keith? Have you seen this goal?
No.
Porto scored a last minute of extra time, was it? Goal to knock out Juventus out of the Champions League. And it was a free kick from 30 yards out. And the guy took a long run up and then smashed it along the ground. They had a three-man wall. And it went straight at the wall. And Ronaldo was in the middle of the wall. The other two jumped in the air. None of them looked at the ball after he lit it. And Ronaldo just turned his back and it went between his legs.
Oh, no.
And into the... Szczesny got over there, tipped it onto the post, and it went in off the post. And Ronaldo, all he had to do was stand there and he could have probably controlled it.
Yeah.
He's so good at football. All that posturing, he's always flexing his muscles and ripping his shirt off. And really, it was extraordinary to watch. You're talking about him maybe leaving Juve now.
Well, I wouldn't
be. None of them in the Champions League quarterfinal for the first time since 2006 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Neither Messi or
Barcelona are out. That was interesting. Who do you think are the favourites of the Champions League out of the sort of top?
PSG.
Yeah, I think it's...
Well, actually, we are ignoring Man City because they are still a thing.
The only thing that's stopping Bayern Munich is the fact that no one ever retains it, do they? That's just so difficult to retain it for some reason. But Bayern Munich, oh, my God. But, yeah, PSG look very, very good. And Pochettino will be highly motivated and, you know, they've got some good players. I really like Verratti, the little midfielder. Do you remember when we played them? Remember that game? We played them at our ground and we went... Did we go two up? A couple of fluky goals, I seem to remember. And it really seemed to piss them off. and Verratti just got hold of the game and bossed it in midfield. It was our home game. And they pulled it back and it was 2-2 in the end. But I thought he's a wonderful footballer, Verratti. Really so clever. He's only small, but he's just one of those midfielders, you know, like a kind of Xavi type. Or even though they're small and they don't seem quick and you think, surely someone's going to clatter him in a minute, they just boss it. You know, they're so good. He was like that. Anyway, I've got some spotter commentaries for you. Are you ready for these?
Yes, please.
We should do these and then maybe... Go on.
Okay, I was just going to say one thing, you know, because we've had, you know, Mourinho and Mussolini. If someone can think of a really thick English manager and then some great, you know, Voltaire type, you know...
Yeah.
You know, that would be good.
So, Shakespeare or Steve McLaren?
Something along those lines, Sean Dyche or, I don't know, Jean-Paul Sartre. That's the kind of, you know...
I think you could probably do a Gerard Houllier and Jean-Paul Sartre. Yeah. Somebody. Okay, here we go. Let's see how much you enjoy this memory.
Every Arsenal player wants the ball. Three waiting again for the cross from Price. Stapleton. Oh, Pat Rice in there. Oh, Brady won it beautifully. Designed for the big occasion and taken with all the aplomb of a great player.
Yes.
Brady, your favourite goal. 5-0.
Was it 5-2?
It was 5-0.
No, it was 5-0, yeah.
It's 5-0, it's 1978, and it is Liam Brady against them, and it was 5-0, and it was at our place.
No, well, I don't mind letting you have
that. No, it was their place, I mean, sorry.
Place, yeah. I don't mind you having that team, because that was a lovely memory, yes.
Oh,
match of the day.
What
you
a goal.
Open up with that one, didn't they, that following season.
What What a
goal. It came up the other day. I know it's your favourite goal. I think Stoney said he was there. And I know it's your favourite goal. And I actually cut that into a podcast the other week. That's why I know it so much. Because I was only three.
Who was the other scorers?
Alan Sunderland got a hat
trick. Yes, he did. Yeah.
Sunderland got a hat trick. And in fact, and Frank Stapleton scored with a header as well. And in fact, when I was privileged enough to do a kind of Q&A thing at the 1979 Cup final team reunion lunch, which happened obviously in 2019, Alan Sunderland, I found myself in a bar in King's Cross with Frank Stapleton, Graham Rixley and Brady and Alan Sunderland, who had died and gone to heaven. And Alan Sunderland was still, I mean, he was joking about it, but you could tell he was a little bit pissed off that he'd scored a hat-trick and Brady got man of the match. But how did he get man of the match? How did he get man of the match? Got a hat-trick. Got a hat-trick. And after a while, they were saying, ow, ow, all right.
Have closure.
But yeah, he got a hat-trick, Sunderland, and yeah, we smashed them. They'd got promoted, and they were a newly promoted side. But wonderful. Okay, see if you can get this one. This is a slightly less famous goal, but still a good one.
Just got to be a little bit more clinical. Good touch by Walcott. Van Persie's hit the post. It's back out to Gibbs. Much, much better from Arsenal. Arteta. Sanya with the header. What a goal that was. Bakary Sanya timed his run to perfection and the Gunners have a lifeline. He hasn't scored for over a year. Could that be a crucial goal for Arsenal?
5-2, the first 5-2, the first 5-2, and it was the goal where Sanya just goes like that with his hands and gets us back in it. So that makes it 2012?
Yeah.
2012.
That's right. Yeah. And that's it. I believe that's the game where they'd gone two ahead with an Adebayor
penalty.
Pen. Yeah. And the reason that I like including it in this one is because it's a Mikel Arteta assist.
Absolutely.
Which is a rare thing.
He always turns up somewhere. And is that the one that had...
Rarer, almost than a Granit Xhaka assist, was a Mikel Arteta assist. It was a left-footed cross from inside the area. And Sanya just battered it in with his head.
Makes it 2-0 to me, though.
It was funny. I was watching a game the other day, and it was the one when we scored, and then Fabregas scored right from the kickoff, and we were we were still celebrating the first goal. And it was an amazing day.
Truly a great, great moment in our lives.
If we hadn't scored so many, I honestly think that's in my. I was going to say I think that's in my top 10 goals ever, but I can't remember. But
that's in my top 10 moments in my actual life. Yeah.
It was so. Oh my God. I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it. It was such a moment.
Everyone was still standing. Nobody didn't have time to sit down. We were still clapping the first goal.
I couldn't even really see. How's that happen? Yeah. He just robbed it off him, didn't he? Yeah. Just robbed it off him in the sentence.
I might have to watch that after this podcast.
I think he took two touches and beat two men.
And he goes nuts off to the side, on our side, right down at the corner. He just goes absolutely...
Superstar. Mm. Okay, see if you remember this goal.
This first half being conducted at a frenetic pace. And Tottenham in trouble at the back. And Alan Smith, 3 goals in 9 minutes for Arsenal. That's their fifth of the season.
Oh, Alan Smith getting a...
I'm handing over to you now, Keith.
Oh, no. This one's... gone from me, but actually,
3 goals in 9 minutes is a little clue there.
Wow, it's obvious. Was it against Spurs? So it must
be against Spurs. It's gonna be before I was going, so I don't know.
White Hart Lane. Oh. I'll give you a clue. Well, it's not even a clue, really. But Gazza scored in that game with his sock. His boot had come off, but he ran through and put it in the net. With his sock. But that was Alan Smith getting the third goal and a 3-2 win. You could argue that that was the goal that won us the league in 1989. You could say that about every goal that we scored that season. But Nigel Winterburn, Adams ran through and set up Nigel Winterburn. He got one. And Brian Marwood scored one from close range that went in off the post. And then Alan Smith got a header later on, and we won that game. Chris Waddle and Paul Gascoigne scored.
I've got Tottenham and Arsenal 1-3-2.
I know you like a quiz. I've got a question for you because that came up the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That was Lee Dixon's first North London derby.
Oh, yeah, could have been. Yeah, yeah.
And it was an all English affair, apart from one player.
Oh, really? Both teams were all English.
All English affair, apart from one player. There you go.
Oh, wow. Wasn't their goalie, was it? It wasn't Torsfett. No? Yeah.
Any answer? Any help with that, Keith?
No.
I quite often think of Stefan Freund at moments like this, but I think that was before his time.
It was David O'Leary.
Oh, David O'Leary. Oh, no, that doesn't count.
Question there,
Tate. He was born in Stoke Newington. Yeah, doesn't count. Yeah, there's three Arsenal goals there against Tottenham Hotspur. And just to cap off another marvellous day as we triumph. So you're confident about this Olympiacos thing? We're going to get through that?
I think we're buoyed by this North London derby win and with a fully rested captain to play his last ever European game.
Don't say that. He might go to the final. If you want to go to the final.
I mean, last year we played in one goal up and lost. This time we're two goals up. Is that going to be enough?
It should be, but let's fingers crossed. A good win today. Confidence is high. They should be going in there in a great frame of mind. So
watch this space. Only a few hours to go before match of the days, at least for the first watching of it. jobs are good.
Man United are 0-0 at half time. Yawn. I don't know who we've got. I'm having a little look. Yeah, well, I think we play West Ham and Liverpool, coming up.
That's tricky. They're two tricky games.
Well, Liverpool in a downward spiral, a negative spiral, as we know. So
what is going on with them? It's absolutely weird, isn't it? We've got West Ham away. We play Olympiacos, then we play West Ham away next Sunday. So we will be recording a podcast immediately after that, I imagine. And then there's a break. And then there's April. We have Liverpool, Sheffield United, Fulham and Everton. Sheffield United away, all the rest at home. But possibly, hopefully, Europa League ties all through that month. I imagine what they'll do, touch would be get through Thursday. They will then do a draw for the quarters and the semis, won't they? Isn't that how that will run?
Absolutely, yeah.
And then we will know whether Harry's coming back to the Emirates or if that is indeed his last appearance.
Well, there's only a couple of clubs that you might want to get in there now.
It's really horrible, actually.
It's tough.
I had a look. Yeah. Ajax look really good. Roma look really good. AC Milan or Man U. Villarreal won 2-0 away at Kiev. We don't want to see Emery. Glasgow Rangers are an absolute roll. Mm-hmm. Tottenham. It's really, there isn't a nice draw in it.
No, Granada or Mulder. That's the only teams.
Granada have got all that money behind them and they're knocking everybody out. That's a horrible draw as well.
I fancy Rangers.
Rangers would be nice with fans. Nothing I'd like more than to go to Ibrox with a fuller. I went to Ibrox a couple of years ago. The only time I've ever been there, I'm playing Rapid Vienna in the Europa League. And what an amazing atmosphere. It was fantastic in there. It really was amazing. It was brilliant in there. And that would be a great game to go to, but someone's going to get that. If they get through, I mean, they only got a draw, didn't they? So they've got a tricky tie yet.
But yeah, there is some tasty teams in there. And we can't be giving away silly goals now. No,
that's it. But still, we're in it. Got to go for it. All right, gents. Great. Enjoy match of the day.
Will do.
Ta-da.
Cheers.